in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways you can save. It's Thursday, April 13th. We are exactly 2 weeks away from the real NFL draft, which got us thinking about all the ways that you can draft. And by the way, leagues open for sign-up right now on ESPN.
Let's go.
Field, Daniel, Stefania, and Mike. Good afternoon, everybody. Stefania, I was going to ask them how to do it, but I don't really care. How you doing? You good?
Wow.
That was me. No, wow. I mean, it's...
Do you have an extra coffee today?
Yeah. I think that's savage.
Oh, you know what? Only one coffee a day for me now. Happened like a month and a half ago. It's
Field always
some days better than others.
Usually the most disciplined person. Now he'll set like a new rule of like, I'm not going to eat this, and then he just does it. I cannot live. I cannot. I fail on any of this.
I noticed that, and I was pretty in awe of it when you were like, I'm going to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every single day before the show for as an entire thing. And then like, as much as you hated doing it, I watched you do it every single week.
That was the attempt to weigh gain. It didn't work out nearly
as well. What's that like, Field? What's it like to have to attempt to gain weight?
That sounded
too.
Bad.
Usually, I'm trying to go the other direction.
I realized how snooty that sounded the minute I actually said it.
So we should share notes because I gotta figure that out too.
Yeah. The weight gain part
of
it.
I'm done with you people. Okay. And Daniel, I know that. Oh my God, all three of you. I work with a bunch of people who try to gain weight. It's like, I wish there was only some kind of magic procedure I could just hand you each like one of my hips.
Here's for stop it.
Actually reminds me of like one of my all-time favorite lines from Liar Liar, mm-hmm. which is a great...
I haven't seen that in a long time. Jim Carrey, right?
Yeah. No, you know what I'm thinking of? Actually, I take that. Of course, I screw up the name. Big Daddy, Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
When he adopts the kid, or has to adopt the kid. And
spoiler
he's like, talking about
in case
how,
you haven't
like,
seen Big Daddy.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, 27 years old, right? And like they're going to McDonald's and like, you know, the kid has like his eighth hamburger and like Adam Sandler makes some comment about like getting an ice cream. He's like, yeah, I have one of like my butt jiggles for a week or something.
It's so
as the kid wolfs down like his eighth double cheeseburger in a row. Anyways, we're going to dive into a bunch of different league formats today because we get this question all the time. Can you do a show dedicated to different types of leagues beyond just the standard ESPN run-of-the-mill, usually PPR? That's the default setting. You can also play non-PPR, but leagues that aren't that. So we're going to do just run through them.
Yeah.
And if there's one that really stands out to you, like this is my favorite, I'll let you have a first crack at sort of breaking down how it works. But we're going to start, Daniel, with two types that are almost the same with one important difference, two quarterback leagues. So it is fairly intuitive, but explain to the masses what a two-quarterback league is.
Two-quarterback leagues mean that you start two quarterbacks rather than one.
No way.
Yes, is it.
All right, next
Mike
one.
Clay. However, there is a little bit of a distinction here. I love playing two-quarterback leagues.
Me too.
But what I really love playing is super flex leagues. We'll talk about that in a second. But I love the idea of being able to add a second quarterback. There's enough quarterbacks in the NFL that I think it's fun to be able to just add a few more points and go out and have a second quarterback in your league. Scoring points is fun, I think. I'm not one of those fantasy players that wants to win a game 79-65 in my fantasy week.
Hey, a win's a win.
I understand a win is a win, but it's less exciting than scoring, you know, 165 points. And when you're able to do that, I just think having more players, more decisions, I'd rather have a quarterback than, you know, an extra flex or something like
there
that.
There is something to be said for a 144-138 victory.
It's just
different.
Fun.
I mean, look at how the league is gravitating towards now in real life. More offense, more offense, more offense is always good. Might as well fold this in with Superflex, Mike, because they're so similar except for one key difference, which is...
Yeah, the key difference is with Superflex, you can use another player if you want. You could use a running back, receiver, tight end, but you won't want to, right? You generally, quarterbacks are in the highest scoring position using relatively standard scoring, so you're going to want two quarterbacks in your starting lineup every week. So you might say, why not just do two quarterbacks? And the reason is pretty simple. If you get above a 10-team league and it's like a 12-teamer, you're going to have bye weeks, you're going to have injuries, and you don't want to be stuck.
Or you could have drafted Russell Wilson as one of your quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, you've got like, 12 teams, right?
Yeah.
12 teams,
yeah,
two quarterbacks apiece,
yeah,
and then you want to back up. So you're talking 36 quarterbacks if everybody has one backup.
Basically, a Superflex functions as a two-quarterback league.
Correct.
Except for in the rare occasions where, as Mike referenced, bye weeks add up, injuries pile up. Somebody decided to be frisky during the draft and take five quarterbacks and put somebody else at a disadvantage. They're often the same, but there's like, on average, like five occasions during the season where a team is playing something other than a quarterback in that super flex spot. So let's talk about, understanding that these are basically the same thing. Let's talk about approach here, Mike, because in normal drafts, you're going to see most likely, handful of running backs, wide receivers in the first round, maybe a Travis Kelce, depending on how your league shakes out. And oftentimes we're telling you, wait on quarterbacks. Wait. You can get them later. How much of a premium must be paid on quarterbacks when you are playing in a super flex
league? Premium. At least half of your first round will be a quarterback this year, especially those big three. The first three picks of super flex this year are probably going to be Allen, Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yep.
You have to get those, at least those premier quarterbacks right off the bat, or you're going to be in a tough position. Now, the strategy I like to utilize is go for the number one, get that top guy, and then try to, and then you just feel it out. You know, in the show we did the other day, we talked through tiers, right? And you kind of want to carve out tiers of quarterback and just kind of wait for the right time to pounce on that second quarterback. But you don't want to wait too long, because you're going to have a run with those like Kirk Cousins types, and then you're going to be in a really tough position and end up with maybe you got Josh Allen, and then maybe a Baker Mayfield, and you're not going to want to be in that situation. So I like to go get a superstar, get a guy that's like a fringe top 10 sort of quarterback as my second guy, maybe within the top 15 at least, and then go upside, maybe a rookie or a flyer. You know, rookies we usually don't like to start in fantasy, but in super flex, when you're starting a 20 to 24 guys, those guys could have some value that and ascend as the season goes on, especially guys that add value with their legs. So, and by the way, one more thing, you know, I think people might be wondering, like, why do this? But look, quarterback is by far the most important position in the NFL, right? And that's who gets all the highlights and who we talk about all the time. But they're devalued in fantasy football because the position is deep and you only start one. This makes it a priority position. It suddenly the first round is loaded with quarterbacks, much like the real NFL draft. It makes sense, right? So, I think Superflex is the future of fantasy football.
Agreed.
Think that's going to be the standard a decade from now.
It's really fun, Stefania. And it seems like we all agree. Like, you have to have a strategy on your first quarterback, and we would, in a perfect world, take one with our first pick who is a superstar. Are you as intent on your second quarterback selection, or are you more of, let me see how the board is shaking out, and then I'll decide, all right, I'm attacking a second quarterback early, or I can afford to be a bit patient. And does last year's quarterback craziness impact your strategy this year?
That's a lot of questions in one question.
<went to Princeton>. Right.
You're trusting my memory to remember it all. No, I kind of followed the Mike Clay philosophy, which is, you know, first quarterback, I want one of the top ones. And then I'm going to watch how the board moves on the next one, because there is a drop off. You're going to get double digit points most weeks from any quarterback, with a few exceptions. And we know from injury patterns every year, I get this question every year. It's like, have we had more quarterback injuries than we did in the past?
Yes,
because they're dramatic when they happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, is people get hurt every week in football. I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but that happens. But nobody is as visible as a quarterback going down. So then you see some teams, 49ers, going through one, two, three quarterbacks in a season. And you're like, wow, they by the time you get to midway through the season, we're talking about getting into deep into the double digits of quarterbacks that have started around the NFL. So I think I don't want to be the last to answer your question, Field. I would rather be in like that first, and it depends where you're drafting, but I'm not going to be the first one to take a second quarterback, but I want it once I see that run starting to happen, I want in.
Yeah,
right,
start the run. Yeah, start the run.
Start the run. Don't end the run when you are playing in a super flex / two quarterback league, because again, they are basically the same thing. If you are playing in a tight end premium league, Daniel, I promise you that the person who decided upon that is a fantasy nerd.
Yes.
Because like none of my friends who play fantasy football casually have ever heard of or thought of a tight end premium league. But anybody in fantasy Twitter, anybody who's playing the Scott Fishbowl,
knows
tight end
Scott
premium
Fishbowl
leagues.
Yeah.
So explain you to discover that.
Yes. Explain to the masses what a tight end premium league is.
Yeah, so normally in fantasy leagues, we play in PPR format, so you get 1 point per reception. But in a tight end premium league, tight ends get 1.5 points per reception. So they are inherently have a little bit more scoring value than any of the other positions. As such, guys like Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews and those premier pass catchers are legitimate superstars when it comes to tight end premium setups.
I've always wondered, and maybe Mike, you can answer this debate. I've wondered if like the best value of tight end premiums is that it makes Travis Kelce arguably 1.01 in your draft, or it makes players like, I'm just using a couple names that come to mind, like Cole Kmet has more weekly upside. Guys of that caliber, right? Like Gerald Everett all of a sudden becomes like a player that you can feel fairly confident in starting because he doesn't need 8 catches to make his money. It can be 4 catches for 42 yards and you're in double digits. Do you think the more important value is raising the ceiling of the elites or raising the floor of the everybody else?
Definitely
tier?
The floor, because we have a handful of superstar guys. In fact, like Travis Kelce's probably broken tight end premium now, because now you bump it up. It's like, it's not even fair.
He's
like Kelce is the 1.1 at that point. So he's kind of broken it.
What if it's a super flex tight end premium league? Well, are you going Josh Allen or are you going?
I'd probably go quarterback. Okay, I'm still going to go quarterback. Right. But Kelce would be right up there with Hurts and Mahomes for sure. But I do think that's the problem, right? We've always had a core of top end guys, whether it's like a Mark Andrews or Gronk or Darren Waller at times, like guys like that. But then there's such a steep drop off and those guys are just not scoring points. And you're like, man, I'm like lucky if I get 6 points. I'm happy to throw Austin Hooper in there and take my 6 points and I'm good to go. And I'm still at a massive disadvantage compared to the top guys. But this raises the floor of those guys, makes them more valuable, similar to other like wide receiver threes or running back twos. That's kind of the point of tight end premium.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Am I chasing less touchdown upside with tight end premium leagues? Like, I'm not trying to like specifically shoot. When I go for a guy that I know is not a tight end, that's a normal starter for me.
Yeah.
And I got to have him as a bye week fill in. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's like, shoot, who can maybe get in the end zone?
Juwan Johnson
week?
Or something.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And a tight end premium, I just think there's way more options based on that.
There are. And I think that generally speaking, anything that introduces more players into the league is good. That's actually why we have shifted towards PPR as our default setting and not non-PPR. Because I'm just telling you, it gets dry and hurry at the running back spot when you're playing in non-PPR leagues. I think there are more exciting wrinkles than an extra half point per reception for tight ends if you're trying to introduce something to spice up your league a little bit. But I am not against the tight end premium.
I know I'm getting a little ahead because we're going to the add a flex position, but this is actually where I like the tight end premiums too, is if you increase your flex numbers. Obviously wide receivers are the most productive, but I think you can be tricky if you have tight end premium and you have extra roster spots. That's when I think it gets interesting, because you can actually make a difference with a tight end there.
And you're talking about a second flex, Stefania, which is a common wrinkle associated with leagues. In the War Room League, which we play in together, 16 teams, there are two flexes. I am telling you, we start retired players in the War Room League during bye weeks.
Guys off of Mike's last list. Yes.
Like all the guys who just got purged from Mike Clay, they'll be added somehow. I don't
Blake
know
Bortles
how it's
starting for field games.
Yeah, but I'm telling you.
That's when you pay attention to Adam Schefter, like, the long shots. The long shots. He's picking somebody up on the waiver wire, and you're like, what does he know? What does
the guy's on the practice squad, and yet some reason Shefty is starting him this week, right? Yeah, but you can add a player, add a flex, and, you know, again, I suppose it probably makes most sense when you're playing in, like, an 18 league, right, where everybody's roster is really good. And I think in some ways what it does is, and it's a good feeling when you have a really great roster. But sometimes you have a roster that's like so good. And I love when I get Twitter questions where it's like, again, to go back to some of my like top 20 or so wide receivers, where somebody is like, all right,
do I start?
I'm choosing between DK Metcalf and also Devontae Smith. Who should I start? Half PPR. And I'm like, I want to play in your league.
Yeah.
You can start whichever one you feel like, or you can start both. That's where there's some value in the extra flex, is that when you've got these agonizing decisions that you can make week in and week out, where there is no right answer going into it by process, but there will be a wrong answer based off result, Mike, it does help take some of that dynamic out of it.
No doubt about it. Look, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a smart person, you're a smart fantasy player, right? Mm-hmm. You know what you're talking about. And in fact, maybe you're a commissioner and you're probably good at fantasy. When you're league, you're competitive and you want every edge you can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
Reducing variance is how talented people who are following the news and transactions and studying fantasy football trends and listening to the show are going to like, right? You want to reduce variance. You want it to be based on your skill. To do that, you add more starting positions, because if you're like, hit a home run late in my draft, I found this sleeper, I love this sleeper, you pick them and they deliver, like, let's say it's like a DJ Chark type and they're delivering like top 30 numbers. You know, a normal 10-team league, that might be a bench player.
Right.
But the more flex positions you have, the more you could take advantage of having a stacked bench in a normal format.
And
so
we're talking
I'm
about OBJ earlier in the other podcast earlier this week.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like OBJ, I don't know if he's going to be a weekly starter in a 10-team league. But 12-team league or a 10-team league with an extra flex, all of a sudden OBJ becomes very, very interesting, more so than he would be otherwise.
I want to ask you guys, when you talk about, and we're going through this, let's say you add one of these positions. You add a super flex, you add a flex or two. Are you changing the way that your bench is set up? Do you want to have more players on your bench? Or how many positions do you need to add to your starting lineup before you start saying, I need to change the bench aspect to make sure I have enough players for these changes?
I think 16 total players on your roster Agreed. Is a perfectly yes. sufficient number, okay. regardless of how many players you are starting. And again, default settings, it's 8 players. In an extra flex, it could be 9. You could make it 2 extra flexes, and it could be 10. But I think 16 players is enough. It pads your depth at the important spots, and it does allow you the flexibility if, like, you're having this historic defensive run. Like, a couple years ago, we didn't really have a great defense this past year, but, like, you know, there have been prior years where it's like, remember the first 8 weeks the Patriots, like, 3 years ago, they snuck the fantasy MVP on deep. Like, all they did, yes. well, the defense was literally their best player. This is Tom Brady's final season there, and one of the most valuable players in fantasy. If they had a week 6 bye, dropping them was unfathomable, right? Mm-hmm. So having 16 teams gives you enough buffer to have the right depth, but also buy yourself some depth in unusual circumstances like that.
I think those 16 roster spots are also a lot easier if you're making one of these changes, if you decide to eliminate a kicker or a defense, because then you can sort of repurpose some of those positions. Field.
Let's talk about a very popular wrinkle that I have a hot take on.
Oh,
but ooh. Some like to take away the defense and the kickers from fantasy football. And Mike was talking about how you want to eliminate variance, right? That was something you just brought up when we were talking about adding a flex. I don't know how you can possibly count on field goals from a kicker in a given week, because generally your hypothesis for a kicker is draft a kicker on either an excellent offense, right? Like, they're going to be
because
in the scoring zone more frequently.
Yeah, yeah.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You could have Harrison Bucker and the Chiefs could score 49 points, and he's good for 7. Meanwhile, you could have Matt Prater on the Cardinals, and they could cross the 50-yard line twice in the entire game, or 3 times in the entire game, but he could boom a 50 and a 49-yarder, and all of a sudden you got more points than Harrison Butker. Mm-hmm. Defense and special and defense / special teams and kickers are the two spots where variance is just so ridiculous week in and week out. Are you in favor of dropping defenses, Mike, and
so
kickers?
I've had experimentation with all of these different formats, just having defenses, you know, eliminating kickers, having both, having none of them. And I found that the leagues I love the most have neither. You know, an extra flex, maybe it's super flex, but does not have either one of them. If I had to keep one, I would keep defense because you can kind of stream. That's kind of a fun thing to do. But honestly, as someone that's in a lot of leagues, when I'm working waivers every week, I'm just like, I don't want to spend time on like kickers and defenses. But also, you can use it as an advantage, right? Like, unless you have like an elite kicker that's just having a dominant year and you want to hold on to them, you can drop that player and use it for an extra bench hold until Sunday morning. Maybe your league mates are drafting kickers and defenses early. You could take advantage of that by letting them take them, and then you go ahead and take a flyer on a young running back or wide receiver, something like that. So you kind of have to pick your spot, but I would say if you just want it for the enjoyment of yourself and you want to save time on waivers, you can eliminate both of them.
What do you think, Stefania?
I don't know. I go back and forth. I'm a little wishy-washy on it because I think after this year, what was really interesting is all the kickers who are missing extra points.
Oh, it's great.
And so now it has changed. The kicking game is now more interesting to me because it used to be, well, it's automatic, and so they all hover around a certain point. And I don't think it's that way anymore. I think that, and I don't know, you do all the numbers, but it feels like to me that there's more fluctuation in what the kickers can deliver. And because we play in the Scott Fishbowl, where you have the option to start a kicker or not.
As a flex.
And as a flex. And I remember a couple of weeks deliberately making a decision to put a kicker in where I thought strategically it was going to be good. I think I had the Tampa Bay kicker, which ended up being, I'm having name
Ryan
amnesia. Yeah, Suckup. I had name amnesia for a minute, but he ended up being really actually quite productive in some cases and a better choice than some of the other flex options. But obviously, that's a league where you can't pick you can't make trades or whatnot, so some of the rules are kind of constraining. But I actually think, I don't know, maybe I'm more of a traditionalist at the end of the day, yeah. And I like having strategy that creates something that's a little bit different than just five wide receivers that everybody can plug in.
I don't know.
I'm a sicko.
I don't like kicking.
I'm a sicko.
There's just too much chaos.
You know what? I don't know. This is my hot take, is that part of why we love this ridiculous game is for the chaos.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
That is true.
And while we pour a ton of time in doing as much research as we possibly can to reduce variance and to give you the most likely outcome, there is still something to be said for the complete unpredictability of fantasy football. Mm. And that's part of the reason why definitely kickers are a keep, in my opinion. And on defenses, it's with a caveat. I believe the ESPN default settings are too punitive to defenses. You can have a solid defensive performance and get like 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You could have a shutout and like just because you didn't have a sack or
You don't have a sack, don't have interceptions.
And I hate going negative.
I think
like,
there is.
I don't want negative.
I'm okay with kickers as is. If you want to make, if you want to have decimal scoring, whatever you want to do, I'm okay with that as well. Defense modifications. But I'm keeping them both. I just think there is something ridiculous and crazy and exhilarating about staying up until 11:27 on Monday night to watch Will Lutz line up for a 49-yard field goal.
It could make or break.
I mean, it's the
just like it's making or breaking the game. I mean, it's not that different.
It's not that different.
What's wrong with you?
No.
What's wrong with
you,
Daniel?
But it's just...
No, not you.
Okay. Yeah.
I told you, I'm more of a traditionalist. And, I point to the fact that, like, this year... All these miss. Everybody's like, oh, it's a chip shot or extra. Who was it? Was it the Packers?
Crosby.
Mason Crosby?
He had that where he was missing. Do you remember he was missing? He missed a bunch of
Lions
extra
game.
Points
he had
in
a couple
row,
of games.
Yeah. And then everybody was like, oh my gosh, are they going to trust him with it? And there was another situation like that too. I can't remember.
Well,
exactly.
The Cowboys
Dallas had that last year.
Extra points in one game. Yeah. He was great. Brett Maher was awesome all season.
But he was making the field goals and missing the extra points. And
totally.
That is the chaos that you're talking about that makes it
Did the Ravens play the Lions last year? Did Justin Tucker kick, as time expired, the longest field goal ever in the history of the NFL?
Was that two years ago?
Yeah, okay.
60-70
well, I still remember that. So, I guess like those are the things where like when you get... I was just
going to
say, that's where I guess I would want kickers because that can win you a week. Justin Tucker and that kind of a thing.
But also, and it's usually at the end. It's exciting.
Anyways, right, again, whatever.
Again, it sounds like Field just needs variance to win his leagues.
He can't do a skill. My bacon has been saved by kickers in the past. I'm not too proud to admit that like there have been times where my team... like has been carried by a kicker for a week. A 21-point outbreak from your kicker is a beautiful thing when your team otherwise
or your defense stinks. Getting like 3 pick sixes.
Yeah, but when that happens to you, Field, it feels even worse. Like when you
exactly
lose because
saying.
Of a 21-point
like,
kicker.
My team is better.
Part of this is embracing the chaos.
Exactly.
I'm going to turn to Mike to explain IDP leagues because frankly, I don't think the rest of us are smart enough to do so. So Mike, IDP stands for Individual Defensive Player. And there are ways in which your defense cannot just be the Bears' defense, but instead it can be, you know, I have Leighton Van Der Esch, or I have
Aaron
Jalen
Donald,
Ramsey, or I have Aaron Donald. So tell me more about how IDP leagues work. And in this case, Mike, like, we can be very generic because there are a million different ways you can shake things
go,
up.
Yeah, you can go a lot of ways.
You know, a whole
if
roster
you just
of
wanna,
defensive players.
Of course, and that's where you have to... That's kind of what you have to do to really get into the depth that we get into in offense where you're talking about like second linebackers and second corners and not just have superstars. But it is easy if you just want to dip your toe a little bit, have one or two IDP spots. Maybe you want to do like one defensive lineman, one linebacker, one defensive back and like a flex. it's going to be all superstar players, though, at the position, right? It's
not linebacker, but yes.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, not linebacker and flex. Not really defensive back either. It's just guys who to make a bunch of tackles.
Yep. Yeah, of course. But I mean, that's what I mean. It's going to be the top guys, right? It's going to be like, imagine if you just had like one, you know, spot at running back. It would just be superstars, right? Yeah. So it's a good way to just get it. You know, maybe you want to have your favorite player and your favorite linebacker and your favorite team, or just know a few defensive players. But if you really want to get into it, you have to add a lot of spots to really have a strategy to it. Otherwise, you're just picking high tackle guys. So it's a fun little wrinkle, but you have to be a you know, it's a little bit more of an advanced game type.
Field, you and I are in a dynasty league with Not Cool Keith that is IDP. It's my only IDP league. It was my first time doing it. And the idea of having two defensive linemen, two linebackers, and two cornerbacks or a safety, that's those six people, that's a whole nother level to the game that as a fantasy analyst, we don't think about the defensive side like that. And so it really is a whole nother wrinkle to make fantasy feel very different if you add IDP to your league.
It really requires a whole different language of understanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it just does. Like, in that league that Daniel is referencing, I remember at one point trying to orchestrate a trade, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm trying to acquire Zaire Franklin right now from the Colts. Meanwhile, like, until this past season, no one even knew who Zaire Franklin was other than, like, special teams contribution. So, I've heard of the suggestion, like, adding one defensive player to your league. I would caution that, like, it's a very different skill set than what you are traditionally accustomed to in your normal leagues. But it is fun when you have a full, or not a full roster, but you're starting six defensive players per week.
I will just say that I think this is very obvious, but, like, Superflex, I think, it makes so much more sense if you're talking about people that aren't super heavy into football, because everyone knows the quarterbacks, right? That's easy to be able to. You're not playing IDP if everyone in your league isn't 100% invested in playing IDP, because it's just going to be too much for somebody.
The players are going to be added in that Superflex or that extra flex spot are known quantities.
They're superstars,
like, when you're trying to decide whether you should be starting Jeffrey Simmons or, like, Christian Watson Christian Wilkins week in and week out, like, it does not register the same way on defense as it does on offense. Stefania, we talk about waivers all the time, but there are two very distinct type of waiver systems that we have available on ESPN. FAB.
FAB.
Free agent acquisition budget.
Not FAB. Not fabulous.
Versus just traditional waivers. So traditional waivers, it's fairly obvious. You know how it works, right? You put in a bid, and if you have the highest priority and you get that player.
Wake up Wednesday and you get him, or you don't.
Hey, have him.
Or you don't put in a bid. I mean, you have leagues that have it's basically waivers based on position and
prioritization. Sorry, what I meant bid, I meant a claim is what I should say. Yeah. So you put a claim in, and if you get him, you get him, right? If you have the best seat, if you have the highest priority, you get that player. If you don't, then someone else ahead of you who also put in a claim gets him. Let's talk about FAB. Explain to us what goes into a free agent acquisition budget league.
Well, you start with a budget, you know, however much that is. Some leagues go with $1,000. Some leagues go with $100. It's all relative, because really the goal to me, and it took me a while to learn this when I started playing, was because you want to be so conservative with your money. Like, what if I need it later? The tendency is to think, well, I better save my budget because what if I need it later? But as our friend Matthew Berry, who kind of coached me up in the first time that I was playing in those leagues, would say, you have to get there if you don't get to where you matter in the second half of the season,
those $85
don't mean
anything.
That money for no reason. So I think you have to be willing to spend. And part of the trick when you're putting in these waiver claim bids and you're trying to allocate how much of your budget you want to use for a bid is guessing how much that player is going to be worth on the market to everybody else. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the fun part, because you're thinking, okay, I have this amount to spend across the entire season. How much am I willing to put up at this point to acquire said player? And that idea of placing value, you know, assigning a numerical value to the player you're trying to acquire, and understanding, you know, the demand and how hot that player might be, I think that's what makes it actually really fun.
And
I actually like it.
Savani just explained it. It is much more art than science. Yes. But any helpful hints in FAB leagues?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that the advice is right, that I spend as much as I can the first week or two, like a lot after week one, because that's when we learn a lot. Week ones, we learn a lot, and that's the time to kind of spend a little bit. You don't want to go overboard with guys that are just like scored 2 touchdowns on 9 touches. You got to kind of pick your spots, but that's usually
OJ
when
Howard.
Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, exactly. There's always guys like that you have to watch for, but there's also, you know, guys that have a big week or one or two with a lot of volume and are stars in the league. So, and fantasy league winner. So no doubt about it. But I wanted to add this, Fab is definitely preferred to waivers because, like, in a normal waiver process, if, you know, you're sixth in line or whatever it may be, you might not have, and there's like a good guy at top. Right. You have no chance. Right. But with Fab, everyone has a shot, pretty much, as unless you blew all your money to go after a player. So I like that is by far the preferred methodology.
I also think it's really fun after Fab, like after it runs, to be like, boy, I was way off on that play. I cannot believe this person just did $65.
Oh, right. My God. Always, but also I love when all bids are revealed.
You love it when somebody else paid the high dollar amount and it wasn't you.
Oh, yeah. Like, I spent $27 and the next highest bid was $3. Like, that's embarrassing. But it's also funny. Yeah. So you should deal with it.
I will say this, too. And I feel like when I do Fab, maybe this is just my brain because it's stupid. But a lot of times it's just like I'll put in $5, I'll put in $10 on a player. My brain, as like I think a lot of us, just sort of default to like increments of five as we do things. Right. I always do $16 rather than $15, or I'll do $11 rather than
$10. I do the odd numbers. I'm gonna keep that in mind. I do 23.
Yeah, you guys. That's what I gave you guys.
I'm gonna do $17.
Yeah, but
stop it.
I know, because I do think people, that's where they go to.
You just default to the easy numbers, easy round numbers.
Totally fair. I will say this, and not to rebut your totally reasonable strategy in some ways, but like I tend, like my bids tend to either be like.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
High or like $1? I don't have a lot of like sort of half measure bid because I'm sort of thinking to myself, am I doing this because the player is available or because I need the player? Ooh, I try to be judicious and spend when I need to spend as opposed to when, he's okay. I'll add him for $5 because then all of a sudden, like if you just do that 3 or 4 times, that could be a quarter or 20% of your budget that you would have liked to allocate on a player that you really need.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to spend that'll add up. $7 out of your $100 will add up. And if you do that for a player who you're like, maybe he'll start this week. You know, it's the backup running back and that guy's beat up a little bit. And then you just drop them Sunday morning because the starters, I mean, you just burnt that money for no reason.
Totally. On the flip side, if I have had really, you know, it's rare, but let's say you start the season strong, you don't have a lot of loss, not a lot of injury turnover. Then I just start to like playing around and stealing other players, you know, I might want to mix that player in. And so I'm going to bid this. I'm going to throw a bid out there and maybe, or I'm hearing good things about a player and I want to get that player before his value skyrockets. If you know he's going to end up replacing.
That's a good point. You don't want to get content with a hot start because sometimes everything's going great and your team's maybe getting a little lucky with touchdowns and you're winning all your matchups and you're 5-0 and you're not bothering much with waivers. And then buys come around and injuries start piling up. Yep. And then you're like, well, my bench is awful because I didn't bother. I have all my Fab, but there's no good players left. Yeah. So that's a good point. You want to keep chipping away at your bench as well.
So Stefania, go ahead, Daniel.
I just want to throw out a quick, really quick question. Do you have any problem with people basically trading their waiver wire or Fab decision where it's like, let's say you and I are in a league, you don't have any money or you're too far down the waiver priority, but you could really use the running back that's out there. Daniel, if you pick up that running back, I will trade you this player for this player. Is that like a collusion? Because it's more than just, I'm not picking up that player for me. I'm going through and doing this.
I think if the trade is valuable to both sides, I think it's totally logical. No problem with it. I mean, if it's no different than if you trade away your starting running back for a guy that's not for a eighth wide receiver without Fab involved, I would have a problem with that. But no,
that's a deeper league thing than like a shallow league.
My big thing on trades is like, as long as they're fair, let them rip, right? Like that's like, I'm okay with a commissioner intervention when it's just an obviously bad trade. It's always, if you want to get the masses talking, you get just mentioned on Twitter, like, should commissioner veto power be allowed for potential trades? Yes. If it's a completely dumb trade that compromises the rest of the league, absolutely it should be a consideration for the commissioner to be able to overturn that, or a league vote to decide whether it should be overturned. Stefania mentioned, like, sometimes in Fab, it's good to get ahead of things. It's also good to get ahead of things when you are towards the end of your season. And let me ask this question, Mike. If a team has been eliminated from the playoffs and there is nothing for that team to play for in the consolation bracket, they're not avoiding relegation or the consolation winner doesn't get $100 or something, there's nothing to play for, should that team be allowed to make moves?
No.
Not at all?
No, not at all. Okay. For what purpose? First of all, we've had this conversation before. What are you doing with your life at that point? Like, what are you doing? Like, if there's nothing to play for, why are you making moves? Start researching for next year. Yeah, find something else to do.
What if, let me just present one last scenario. What if, like, your that bad team winning a game against, like, they have a team on their schedule that is fighting for a playoff spot, and if the bad team beats the fringe team, then another fringe team goes into the playoffs. Like, is it, well, this do you is, owe it to yes. the other teams.
Okay, so this is still the regular season. At that point, that's a different conversation.
Yep.
Yeah, you play it out. You play out the regular season, as far as I'm concerned. That's fine. I'm talking about once we get to the playoffs. And there's no consolation bracket, and people are still adding and dropping. I don't understand that at all. For the sanctity of the league, you should not be doing that. Now, if you want to try to win your consolation bracket, fine. If there's nothing on the line in my consolation bracket and it's just there for show, I don't care about it.
Fair enough.
It doesn't matter. But if there's money on the line, fine. If it's a dynasty league, fine. Like, I'm not saying no matter what, if you don't make the playoffs, you can never bother with your roster. It's just in circumstances where there's nothing on the line, don't waste your time.
And that's very obviously nothing on the line means a redraft leagues. When you're talking about dynasty or keeper leagues, totally different rules would apply there, I would assume.
Absolutely. Yes, 100%. Absolutely.
Yep, because there's always something to play for in dynasty, whether it's draft position or otherwise. Let me ask you, Stefania, what do you think is more enjoyable? A league that has a prestigious award for the winner, whether it's financial or otherwise, or a league that has a punishment for the last place finisher?
Substantial reward.
Okay.
So I'm all about the carrot versus the stick.
Good way of putting it. Yeah.
Like, let's reward the person who's got, and there's a league that I've played in before. I couldn't get in this year because of the draft time didn't work out. But Cynthia Freeland, our friend Cynthia Freeland, runs it. And it's the Louboutin Shoe League. And it's all women. And we're playing for a pair of those shoes, which, in case you guys don't know, they run about $1,000 a pair. So everybody puts in $100. And the thing is, I'm not going to go out and buy a pair of those shoes. Mm. That is not in my budget.
Right.
Just so we're clear.
Just so we're on the same page.
So we're understanding.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I really want a pair of those shoes. Yeah. They're the ones with the red soles, the high heels.
Yes.
And damn, if I don't make the playoffs, I've come in second, way too many times.
You get one shoe?
No. But to me, I want to win that league. That I pointed out, because that reward I want so badly. I make such an effort in that league. And, I've made the playoffs a fair amount, have not come away with a pair of shoes.
Maybe the most uncomfortable I've been during my time at ESPN is I was doing NFL Live, I think it was, last year. And it was Kimberly Martin, the great Kimberly Martin, one of our NFL reporters, big-time contributor to fantasy football now during the season. Her and I in studio, in our NFL studio here, and she had her Louboutin shoes on. And there are various parts of the NFL studio where, sets rise or can collapse, and as a result, there's some crevices in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've stepped into one of them with a heel before, so
she
I am
stepped
right
in with a heel. And that heel broke, and I felt like I needed to, I'm not a therapist. I felt like I needed to bring a therapist to the set for Kimberly. It was
that
the most,
is not okay.
It was I felt for her in that moment. I couldn't relate because I have not worn these shoes. I don't think they would be quite in my, my fashion repertoire. That being said, I could I could empathize in that moment. I could see the disappointment in her eyes. She powered through it.
Can you fix a broken heel, Stefania? What do you do?
Well, I can't, but there are people who
can.
But I will tell you, I would like to have a pair of shoes and then have that problem. Let me get the pair of shoes first.
I think you gotta go to there's gotta be one person who is the Louboutin specialist where it's you screw yours up, you come to me. That person might be in a remote, in a cave,
you're getting those shoes fixed for sure.
That's what I'm saying. There's gotta be one person in the world who was the go-to person.
Oh my gosh! Now I want. I'm ready to start playing now. I'm ready.
Now you're ready.
The season is back upon us soon.
So yeah, to answer your question, reward. I mean, punishment is funny. I enjoy watching other people's leagues. I have all these things that get posted on the internet, and I don't know how many. I met a guy when I was touring around at some point this off season, who was Yep. You know, fan of the show. Getting ready to do my Waffle House like all nighter.
24 hours.
That's so great.
That's one of my favorites.
That's become a good one. It's one popular of my favorites. Among
yeah.
many
you
leagues.
You got to stay
yeah.
in Waffle House for 24 hours.
Nobody hurts. It doesn't. No one, like, you know what I mean?
1 hour subtracted for each waffle that you eat.
Yeah, I think that's pretty great.
You eat 12 waffles, you're there for 12 hours, you know? Good one right there.
Can I say that outside of just punishments and or having other, I love a traveling trophy. I love being able to like, you can go from you to the next person, the next person, and it can go wherever you want. But being able just to do drafts together, I think is my favorite thing about fantasy
so
football.
Fun. It's so hard to do.
So
yes,
hard
it's tough.
Now.
We have, because we're also spread out. We have so many leagues and friends and everything where people are elsewhere in the country. But my favorite thing about keeping people involved or just doing all of that, like we're talking about,
draft
is draft day. Let's have food. Let's play games. Let's just talk about football, and it's with my best friends. It's so awesome.
Picks, if you know, like, run a casino or know someone that runs a casino or a cool place to do a draft and you want to invite us,
yeah,
let us know.
Please tell us.
Fantasy Focus. Let us know. I will find it in my heart to come visit this location. If it's in Las Vegas, I'll really find it there. Just as a FYI for those who might have some connections out there.
We're ready to start drafting.
That's right.
Yeah, we are. We've done a mock already. It's on the site.
If you haven't had fun listening to this podcast, I'm not sure what's wrong with you. If you have, then I would encourage you to go find Liz Lowe's piece because it recently published on ESPN.com, 7 ways to spice up your league. Some of the ground we covered in this show today, but there are others that she has thought of or she has documented that we did not discuss here. Of course, all of Liz's content can be found on ESPN.com. Check that out. For Daniel and Mike and Stefania, I am Field. We are back next week again, 3 weeks until the NFL draft. Let's have some fun. Plenty of news coming around the corner.
He's a NASCAR guy with a base and trine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats.